There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss. If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey everybody, welcome back to The Shift. This week's guest is Andy Fiore. I was absolutely delighted to get him on. We actually talked about a post that my roommate sent me, and it's a post on Instagram, and it said why it is so hard to date a millennial, and it had a couple of like slides or photographs and information on it. So we read those and talk about it, basically just about how people have an inability to be vulnerable now, the effects of ghosting on dating, too much choice, playing hard to get, all of that. And then we also talked a bit about communicating in the bedroom. So Andy had a couple of questions about that and tips. So yeah, have a listen to the episode. But before, happy holidays to everybody. I hope you're able to celebrate wherever you are. I know it's hard with COVID, but I hope you, even if it's just like getting to relax and watch a couple of movies. So yeah, I hope you have a great one. Also as well, if you want to listen to next week's episode, it'll be up on the Patreon tomorrow. So Patreon.com/The Shift Podcast. The video there of this episode is up there as well. And I do a solo episode every week, just stuff that I'm not, that it's kind of like a diary entry, so stuff that I'm like freely talking about with dating that I just don't talk about on this, because a lot of time I'm like interviewing people as well, so I don't want to be like, and then this happened to me, so I get to kind of like ramble on there about the struggles of New York City dating, or just our generation, I guess. And so yeah, so if you want, that's the Patreon.com/The Shift Podcast, and enjoy this episode, and I'll talk to you at the end. My roommate sent me this thing this morning. I think I sent it to you, but it was...
I read it.
It's interesting, right?
It's pretty spot on, I think.
Wait, what am I... Okay, so it's called This Is Why Dating a Millennial... I can't say that. Millennial?
Is millennial, so, you nailed it.
Is so messed up. Okay, am I a millennial?
I think you are.
What are you?
I'm Gen X.
What's that mean?
I'm 40.
Oh my God.
It's all based on the years you were born. So it's kind of stupid that way, but people put a lot of faith into these eras that they're, these genres and generations that they're in.
Yeah. You're 40. So, I didn't know you were 40.
Really? Did you think I was older than that?
No, younger. I guess I just thought you were like 30 or 35 maybe.
Let's go with 35 then.
Yeah, sure.
Anyone born between 1981 and 1996 is considered a millennial.
Okay. So 1981 and 1996. So I'm a millennial.
I hope you're in that.
I am. I'm 1990.
Okay. I just, like, if you were born after 1996, I might have to get off this podcast.
No. God, I wish.
Me too.
I could pass for younger, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, 21.
Okay, good. I had a date with a guy and he said I couldn't pass younger than 27.
Oh, get rid of him.
Fuck you. I still get acne, okay? Yeah, I passed for 14.
Yeah, no, you look very young.
Thanks. Oh, yeah, don't worry. I got rid of him anyway, but it wasn't because of that. I had a date with a 40-year-old recently, and when he said he was 40, all my friends, I forgot, like, you're 40, Sean's 40, all of my friends are 40, but when he said it, it sounded so much older. He sounded older. I don't know why, but something, it kind of hit me.
Yeah, something about the number is off-putting to people. But then you meet people who are that age, and you're like, oh, they're still fucking children. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's like, this is such a bad thing to say, because like, I do want to meet someone and like, you know, it lead into a commitment. But there was something about sitting across from not a 40-year-old comedian, but a 40-year-old who has a real job, has their shit together. Not that our jobs aren't real, but it's just
You know, not comedians.
It just seems like my comedian 40-year-old friends just seem a bit more like, I don't know what the word is, but someone who's like an accountant in 40 or like a lawyer in 40,
sure,
like they're going to be like, we're going to have a kid in a year. And I felt, even though it was only one day, I felt like panicked, which is weird because I always want like a commitment, but I was like, this feels like I want to meet someone and be boyfriend, girlfriend, but I don't want to meet someone who could be like, in a year, like, are we ready to, you know, give birth?
Oh, really? Well, that's going to probably be the issue with the 40-year-old guys, because I'm like that too.
Okay.
I am like that. Here's the thing. I would like the same thing too. I meet somebody that I like, and I usually put the pedal to the metal very quickly, which is probably not the best thing to do. Yeah. But I'm like, well, we like each other. This is great. You know? I don't want to be an old dad, though. I had an old dad, and I don't want to be a crazy old. My dad was great, and you would never know that, like, you know, when he passed away, he was 96. But, like, growing up, he was an old dad, and he was physically fine with it. But, like, I don't want to do that. And, you know, so it's like, you think about that. You're like, well, in 5 years, I'll be 45, you know, and by the time the kid's 20, I'll be 65. Like, that's a weird thing to think about. I mean, I guess that's not that old anymore, but I don't know. It gets your mind going.
I'm never going to date you.
Oh, well, I'm leaving.
Bye, bitch. No, but you see, even that train of thought, like, for me, I'm 30. I don't think I want to have even, like, I want to have a kid maybe when I'm 38. So if I were to date a 40-year-old, they're like, I'm not going to wait around till 48. It just, so serious.
Man, our romance is over before it even started.
Why don't you date 38-year-old women?
I would. I don't have any age restrictions.
Okay, good, good. Never mind then. You're like,
yeah.
You're like, I never said I wouldn't.
Yeah, exactly. The girl I dated most recently was 36.
Okay, yeah, that's a good age for kind of like, okay, maybe we'll have a kid in a year or two.
Yeah.
Did she want to have kids?
We didn't get there because I think I did. And this was what I was going to talk about when you brought up that post that you sent around. It was that the thing about like ghosting, and maybe this is a 40-year-old thing mentality, is that I got to our about fourth date. We hadn't slept together or anything yet, but it was trending, obviously, in that reaction. In that, you know, way. And she said, hey, do you want to come over to my house for dinner on like a Friday night? And I agreed, but I was already kind of that week not feeling it. You know, I could tell she liked me a little more than I liked her, not to brag or anything. I just kind of felt that way. And I just kind of knew in the long run, I wasn't going to be into this. So I told myself, I was like, all right, I'll go over for dinner. We'll see where it goes. And at the end of the night, I excused myself because I knew that was going to, if I slept with this girl just to have sex, it would have been a shitty thing for me to do because I was already in my head trying to get out of the relationship. Yeah. So I did an adult thing and I was like, I made an excuse. I was like, I said I had to like film something with Greg Stone early in the morning, and I like got out of there. But then like the next day, I just, you know, sent her a text and being like, hey, I just don't think this is right for me. I hope there's no hard feelings. I didn't want to get too serious or anything, because if I had sex with her just to have sex and that would have been, and then break up with her, that would have been a shitty thing to do, which was something I probably would have done when I was younger and then just ghosted somebody. But I am growing up, I guess, and I'm being honest with people. And I felt that when I do that, people are the most responsive and appreciative of that. They're like, well, thank you for being honest. You know, it sucks that, I don't know, good luck and I'll see you around.
Yeah, completely. I think because if you had just not responded or you hadn't texted her for a week, she would have been thinking for a week, oh, he's probably just busy. He'll get back to me. And it's like,
and that's, you know, the worst.
Oh, it's horrible. Oh, it's so,
I've been on that end. I hate that. I overthink everything. It's terrible.
Yeah. I've been on it too, because you don't want to be, you know, yeah, you're like, there's this great ad. It was an ad in Ireland. It was called a Vodafone ad. And it was like all the excuses the girl was making for him not texting back, like, oh, he probably doesn't have signal. He lost his phone. And in the end, it shows him throwing her number away and being like, Vodafone. So it's like T-Mobile has great network. He's just not into you. But we do, because the other thing is as well, you're like, I don't know, maybe they're just busy for a week. I don't want to like presume that
they're a week sounds like an eternity to me.
I know, me too. Yeah. But I get busy for a week, but then if I'm really honest with myself and if I don't respond to someone for a week or I don't want to see them, it's because I'm probably not that interested. I'm like,
if I like you, I want to talk to you every day and I want you around all the time.
Me too. But that's hard because I feel like I don't know how to put in boundaries. So then I want to see them all the time and I want to do my work all the time and I want to see my friends. So it becomes a little overwhelming.
Sure. It's a tough balance.
So then if I meet a guy I don't really like, I'm like, this is great. I don't want to see him ever. This is perfect.
It's a perfect relationship. I never have to see him.
I know. And what were you going to say? You feel like if you don't want to see them for a week, then you don't like them.
Yeah, that's when I would know that if I am feeling like it's a burden where I'm like, ugh, I have to text so-and-so. I mean, come on, like that's already not a good sign. So that was the feeling I was starting to get with this last chick. And so I was just being honest with myself. I just learned it's easier that way than like dragging things out, which is what I would have done 10 years ago, just because I didn't want to have the hard conversation, you know?
And I also think as well, though, maybe like 10 years ago, so you would have been like 30. And then for like, I think.
Thanks for bringing that up again, Katie.
You're so old. No. 40 is the new 30. I'm 20. But
there you go.
Yeah. But I think as well, it's not just having the hard conversation. It's making the decision. So I think sometimes people are like, I do like them. I don't, but I'm not, I don't want this right now, but I do want it, but I don't want to let them go because then I'm missing out on it. And it's like making a decision. And I think us as a generation find it really hard to just make a decision and stick with it.
Yeah, for sure. Stick to your guns.
Okay, well, I read this out. So this is why dating as a millennial is so messed up. We're in competition of who can care less. Showing actual emotions is frowned upon. If we show our cards and act like we're interested, it leaves the person we're affectionate about turned off and running the opposite direction instead of being flattered that we actually care about them. So nobody risks being vulnerable and open. How do you feel about that slide?
That's what it we've come to. It's, I agree with that 100%. That did become like a badge of honor to be like it's cool not to care, or it's cool not to like show your feelings, which is hard for somebody like me who kind of wears their heart on their sleeve. Maybe sometimes it doesn't work out for me, but I don't really know how to not do that. It's just like, when if I like you, I like letting you know my feelings.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I guess that is a generational shift, because like that kind of sucks if the thing to do is not be emotional, not show people your feelings. I would hate that.
I think it's really hard because I'm at two trains of thought with this. So let's say I kind of think that if you like someone and you tell them, if they like you back, that they wouldn't be afraid. And then if you're going to pretend you don't like them and you're dating them for a few months and playing these games, that when you eventually show emotion anyway, it's still not going to work out. But then I don't know, because then the other side is, if the person's easily scared, maybe playing it cool, they will slowly come around. It's very fucking confusing.
It is confusing. I don't know. I guess that's why I still buy into kind of when you know, because my easiest relationships have worked like clockwork pretty quickly into meeting the person or hanging out with them. Do you know what I mean? So, I mean, playing games for months sounds horrible to me.
It sounds
like going back and forth. I'll let you know if I like you. I think just sit you down and face to face be like, I like you. But I think I let my actions speak for my feelings if I genuinely like a person.
Yeah, I think that's good. Do you also say, though, how you feel? Because I do think sometimes people will think that their actions are expressing how they feel, but sometimes other people need just like a confirmation, like that you actually like them. And I don't know how you would do that, but do you say like, hey, I like you, I'm having a great time?
I'll say something like, hey, yeah, it's been really fun, I really like hanging out with you. This is, you know, something like that as a starter, as like an appetizer. Why is that bad?
I hate that. I like hanging out with you. You be like,
as an appetizer, as like, I know, the but first that course
that has to be like early on. You wouldn't do that if you're
that's
dating.
Early on, that's an early honor.
Okay
no after a couple months I'm ready to propose. Are you kidding me?
Okay, good. Oh God, it's also.
I don't think it is good. It's not good, is it?
No, I think it's fun. Like, I do think anybody I've spoken to in serious, happy relationships, like especially on the podcast, and has been kind of like that they knew pretty early on, and even like with my dad and my stepmom, it's like now, like yeah, they both kind of said that pretty early on, like you know, like a month or two, like. But it's also timing too, like
so much of it is timing.
Yeah, you like you're afraid, like I know for me, I'm always afraid that I'll invest too much and like, oh shit, is this the time now that I'm meant to be focusing on my career? And I think a lot of young men and young women feel that way, and not that I'm that young, I'm fucking 30, but I do want to meet someone as well. So I think that comes into play a little bit as well, especially if you've been burned before, like a past relationship didn't work out, you're more likely to be like, I'm not gonna invest any time in anybody again.
Yeah, you got to keep trying. If,
I think so, know. Too. I'll keep trying. Fuck it. Exactly. I love love. It's,
yeah, same here. I agree. I'm the same way. I don't think you should give up. That's that, you know, because then you'll never have it. It's like it's a weird balance of people going, oh, when you stop looking for it, that's when it'll happen. And then there's this other 50% of that is like, well, if you're not looking, you're never going to be put yourself out there. It's like, well, which one is it?
That stresses me out so much, because I'm like, I'll be like to my friends, yeah no, it's cool, I'm just gonna be by myself and I'm not gonna look, but in my head I'm like, now the universe thinks I'm not looking, I'm gonna meet the love of my life.
Exactly, come on universe.
No I think as well, like, so this thing that we read out, let's say then we're in competition of who cares less. When I read that, I was like, fuck, I've had guys be really into me and I haven't liked them. Was that because it was just too much? It was too much. But I actually think if it was a guy that, when it's been a guy that I've liked and they've showed that they've liked me straight away, it hasn't changed how I felt. I've just been like, so I felt more secure. Like I felt like, oh, yeah,
of course.
And they feel the way exactly. I feel.
Yeah. And that's why I think it's that. Negates communication, that statement, which is never good. If you also ask couples that really were, they go, yeah, we're open and we're honest with each other, which is how I like to be. So it's stop playing games, stop tiptoeing around and trying to be cool and millennials. It's garbage. Ugh.
I agree with you. And when you're doing, I've just thought about this now, because if you're doing this, I'm gonna play kind of cool, hard to get for a couple of months.
Where does that get anybody?
You're actually wasting more time. If you were just
exactly.
Like, yeah, after a week or two or three, whenever you feel comfortable, even a month, and you're like, hey, I really like you. I like where this is going. And if they're like, I'm not interested, great. You've not wasted a couple of months of playing it cool, playing these mind games, waiting 7 hours to text back. Bullshit.
Thank you.
Oh, God. And this is from two single people. Let's get married. Let's get married, Andy, right now.
Let's do it. We
okay,
had a nice
I'll
picture
have a baby.
In the park. We were holding a baby. We had, that was a glimpse of what our beautiful family would have looked like.
I know. I should put that as the podcast episode.
There's their
picture.
Promo picture.
If I have your baby, will you pay for my life?
That's usually the deal.
Okay, cool. Okay, I'm down. Yeah. I've been thinking about it this pandemic.
You're bargaining with baby. What is pay for your life?
Well, I'm tired.
And I breakdown.
And I just was like, okay, I chose to be an artist, a comedian, and a bartender my whole life. All of these jobs don't work in a pandemic. What's the next thing? I can make babies. Yeah. Maybe someone will pay me.
babies fetch a hefty price on the open market.
If I met a husband and he was like, okay, you have the baby, you're here during the day, I'll be there during the night, you can do your comedy, I love you, that'd be great. And then they feed me.
Yeah.
I'm thinking
nights,
about it.
Nights don't work for me, unfortunately, as well.
I know, so it's not going to work out. That's it. We're done.
You didn't even give me a chance.
Okay. We expect a perfection. Wait, we expect a perfection that doesn't exist. Social media has led us to believe we're entitled a fairy tale life that doesn't truly exist. We write people off for a minor detail and quickly look for the next best thing. that we'll somehow also find flaws in. We fail to realize that relationships are a balanced bond and that with amazing things come imperfections as well. I'd like to apologize to everybody listening that I just sounded like a 12-year-old reading from their history book in school.
You did, what? You did great.
Are you sure? I feel like I was like, and then the dog crossed the road.
Stop. You see, you're doing that. You're nobody was thinking that and you put it in their heads.
Oh, stop. Anyway.
I'm telling you.
We expect a perfection that doesn't exist. How do you feel about that?
Well, in regards to social media, yes, 100%. I hate all of it. I would never wish it was. I wish it would never even became a thing because that is, I think, a generational thing, too, is where I was in my 20s and mid 20s before Facebook and social media and Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff. So I knew what it was like before that. And I think it was better because that statement is true in regards to the fact that it says, people put on airs, you know. What do you do when you, we're all guilty of it as comics, we post the best photos, we post the funniest things. It's like, well, it's not like that all the time. So it does give people a sense of these beautiful, glorious relationships, and they're not true. Because I like the latter part of that sentence when it said there are imperfections, especially in relationships. And that's not good because that puts ideas in people's heads where if any little thing goes wrong, I'm out, which again, I'm guilty of doing too, but that's, I agree with that 100% again.
I think you're right, because I think the thing is, let's say if you have, you're dating someone and you have 20 hot girls always liking your photos, hitting you up in the DMs, firing your stories, and your girlfriend just has like a bad.
I've never had that.
Okay, well, in this scenario, you have it, okay? You'll be getting all the traction on the social media. Or even if you're not, even if you're just seeing like all your cute friends or cute people, I don't know. But let's say for this scenario, and then something kind of goes a little bad, you're like, well, I have this other person talking to me, I can talk to them for a couple of months, and then that goes bad, I can talk to them. And I think there's just like so much choice instead of being like, let's work on this little problem and make it work long term. Like, that expectation that someone is perfect, so when you don't find that equal match, there was this I forget her feckin' name, but she did a TED talk, she's like a French name, and she said that the problem with relationships now is the expectation that your partner is your best friend, your lover, your all of these things. And right. I do think it is, yeah, I think
I don't like that at all.
Is too much, right?
100%. They shouldn't be all those. They're not all those things. I don't think life is set up for that one person to have all those roles, you know?
Yeah.
My best friend is Steve Brown from Morristown, New Jersey. That's my best friend.
Yeah.
A girl's not going to take that spot because I am all about being open and communicating in a relationship. But there's certain things I want to talk to my best buddy about that I'm not going to talk about to my girlfriend or my wife. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, I can't talk about my balls to my best friend if my best friend's my wife. You know what I mean? There's just like,
I hope my husband talks
guy
about
talk that I'm just going to talk about to guys, you know, like, and I'm sure it goes the same way for gals.
Yeah. Or just even like, I think, you know, you'll hear people who are in long-term relationships and they'll be like, no, they are like my best friend. And I know my dad and my stepmom say that about each other, but I think it's also healthy to have like another close friend that you,
so
you're not dumping it all on the one person.
There's a very real thing of having too much of one person.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My parents were married almost 50 years. They were sleeping in different bedrooms toward the end just because it's not that they didn't love each other. It's just like my dad is a super light sleeper. My mom's a really heavy sleeper. And my dad was up all the time. My mom's like, I just want a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
I don't love him any less.
You know that's just practical. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. And to me, I'm like, I totally understand that.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Are you tangled up when you sleep with a partner, or
no.
Are you a separator?
Separator.
Yeah, I'll fall asleep in a cuddle, but if I want, then I need to get my 8 hours. Then I'll untangle.
Yeah, I like the cuddle before, just because that's such a nice part of sleeping with someone. But then, like, sleep their side, I sleep my side.
Get the hell out of here, yeah.
And then in the morning, it's nice, like, when they... the last guy I was dating, I really liked this, where... So we would sleep like that, and then we would separate. But it's also, I just like having someone in my bed, because I get nightmares. And when I sleep with someone in my bed, I don't get nightmares. It's very strange.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I think that's probably why I date so much, just to cure. I'm always like sleeping beside.
Nightmares.
but he.
Why don't you just get like a one of those big like body pillows?
I know. I think it's just like a person being there. I used to sleep with my cousin.
Maybe.
Yeah, when I was younger, my cousin would sleep beside me and stuff. So I don't know.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I probably just need like a dog, and let him sleep in the bed, which is kind of gross. But I'll probably like.
What's
get
your cousin
over
up to?
She's living in Sydney, living her best life. So, but what I do like is so like, and this is something like the last guy I was dating would do that I loved. So I would stay over in his a lot, and then he would have to get up for work in the morning, but he was working from home and I would just like sleep on. But when I would like, maybe like at 10 a.m., he would wake me up by like climbing on top of me and like hugging me. And I loved that. That was so nice to wake up like that.
It's
and then
nice
be like,
move.
Do you want tea or coffee? And I'm like, yeah, I want it all. And I think
he's hitting all your buttons.
Yeah, that was like a nice,
very sweet.
Yeah, it's like a nice benefit of a relationship, that kind of waking up and feeling like liked. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now I'm all 100%. Alone.
Oh, stop it.
No, I have a dog.
Not for long. Come on.
And no, it's funny because when we were reading this this screen, sorry, I forget what it was called, but where they come on too strong. I recently had a date and I just felt that he liked me so much that it did feel a bit much. But I think just because I'm obviously not feeling it that back.
Sure.
You know, I don't know.
Coming on too strong is a very real thing.
Yeah, well, he was also just very American. And for my American listeners and for you, I apologize for what I'm about to say.
Well, how American was he?
Well, every American I've met has never been what I thought an American was before I moved to America. So like my stereotype of American would just be like, you know, Southern and like, I die for my country and guns.
He's got a cowboy hat on. And
he was very like, you know, I love my country. Yeah. And like I thought maybe he'd have like a shotgun in his bag or something, but he was like such a gent.
You're talking about Kid Rock. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, and he was a gent and he paid for everything. And when I went in, he had a Jameson on the table, not spiked, thank God. And he was very interesting, but he was just so loud and like every sentence was like extended, like, well, we're going over there and then we're walking down the road. And no American I have met is like that. Like
I've ever met somebody like that.
He was like a caricature of an American. It was like as if a cartoon had come to life.
Yeah, that's, well, again, I mean, that's, you know, right, you knew right away, because not everybody's like that, but
I know, but it's not a reason not to like somebody.
It is a reason not to like somebody.
Okay,
somebody who acts like that? Are you kidding me?
I felt so bad. I felt so bad. And then he went to kiss me at the end of the night. And I know there's obviously like COVID, so people are probably worried about that. But we had both been COVID tested. And so that's not my excuse. But when he went to kiss me, my body panicked and I ducked and he landed on my forehead. And I don't know. And then I kept like comparing him in my head to the last guy I was dating, because the last guy I was dating was like super cool and like a chill American. But
what happened to that? That guy sounds great. He was waking up with kisses and cuddles and tea.
The listeners have heard about it, but he kept talking. He was kept talking about how he hates relationships, even though I felt we were in one. Ooh. So I kind of knew I just knew it wasn't going to go to that. So
See, that's good. That's good for you for getting out ahead of it.
Yeah, it's really hard though. I found
it is hard.
Yeah, I've never done the right thing or like ended it at the right time. I usually let it go a little longer maybe. And so I think ending something at the right time or doing it the right time is probably the hardest thing to do. And because it'd be better if we probably went on for a couple of months and I was confirmed in my belief and then be like, but you'd be so much more hurt. And I'm just at a stage where I'm like, I know I want to be in a relationship. And I was basically in one with him. And if he's not willing to...
Yeah, I think you did the right thing.
Yeah, I definitely did. But
it really isn't it all about confidence in who you are? Because if you're confident in your decisions, then you did the right thing. But if you're not confident in yourself, you go, well, maybe I'll come around in a few months and maybe he'll change. And I don't think that's a good way to be. I think you have to have confidence and just be like, I know what I want.
Yeah.
And he's not giving it to me. So
yeah,
I'm not going to waste any more time. I could be meeting the love of my life if I give this guy 3 months. That love of my life could walk by. you know? So
yeah. And my friend said this thing. There was like there's a couple of things, like, I don't want to, you know, a lot happened in the space of time, and I don't want to shit on him because I think he is a genuinely good person. I just think he's immature.
Yeah. He is a DJ.
Yeah. Handle some things badly. But my friend said this thing. She was like, while you're dating the wrong person, you could be missing out on the right person. So if you're not feeling it, and I thought it was really good advice. And then another thing she said was to write down your list of standards. And like the thing with him, even if he was like, I want you to be my girlfriend. Yeah, let's label it that. Like, I'm a fucking idiot. There was other things as well that I need from a relationship that he wasn't giving me. So it's like,
there you go. Like what?
I need compliments, and I said that a couple of times, and he was not willing to give them. So I've said this already on the podcast.
That's shitty, though, too. I think, man. Yeah. I'm checking all your boxes here, Katie.
Thanks, Andy. Let's get married. But I think that's important for people, is like, because now what we're saying, it's like, we don't want to not date someone because they're not perfect, but we don't want to date someone because of that fear either. Like, don't drop your standards too much. So I would have wrote a list of what I wanted in a guy, because I dated so many fucking mental people. So my friends are like, you need to write a list. And that's like, you can't deviate off it. And so I have the list, and most of the guys
pros and cons. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. Pros and cons. But what my friend said was, write your standards. And I was like, oh, that's very good, because now it's like, well, actually, this is the way I want to be treated. And it's like, and then when you write it down, it's really the bare minimum. And I think people now in New York City, a lot of men that I meet don't even want to do the bare minimum, because that seems like a commitment. Really? And they just don't want to commit.
Yeah. But so what is that then? Is that just sex?
I guess they do sex, and they'll do the relationshipy stuff, but like, maybe not go that little
buddy.
Yeah, like, you know, they're not gonna like drive you home or get you flowers. Nobody really gets flowers, but I don't know, like,
I would bring, yeah, I mean, these are not that difficult. I would still be doing these things. Maybe this is an older generation kind of thing, because I think all those things are sweet, and if I like somebody, I would do those things.
Yeah, no, I know, also as well, this is from me and my friends' perspective. And a lot of my female friends are doing shows at night, or like, my roommate is working till 9 p.m. every night. She works for the housing organization. A lot of women in New York City are very busy. So we do find it hard to maybe meet someone, and then maybe we drop our standards a little bit. We're like, they have clean bed sheets. Thank God.
I don't think any of you have actually been treated correctly.
Yes, I think
that's not. Like, a nice, good, solid relationship, those things should come organically. You know what I mean? Like, you should get flowers, not every day or even every week, but every now and then. That's a nice gesture. I offer to drive people home just because I'm like, hey, you want to drive? Just because I like the company. But I would, like, the girl I was dating, I met her in the park over the summer. And we hit right away, and I was just like, you want to come over? I'll make you lunch, you know? Like, yeah. I think you should put yourself out there in those ways. I just don't think these younger gals have been treated to a good person.
Well, and then there is other things that people do. Like, the last guy was saying he would like make me dinner a lot, which is really nice. But then my guy friend, who's in a serious relationship, he sat me down and he was just like, because I wasn't sure if I should keep dating him, but he was like, I'm making dinner for myself. He was like, think about what you want for a long term and what you need. And that's more important. Yeah. So he was like, he was like giving me great advice in that regard. I feel like even if you're questioning, if you're like telling it out, it's probably not meant to be. But here's the thing, when you're saying like, oh, you girls aren't being like treated right or whatever, this goes back to this thing that we're reading. I think some people are afraid to be vulnerable. So, you know, if you're dating someone a couple of weeks and, oh, I'm going to bring her flowers, well, it's like, oh, is that embarrassing? Is that too much? I don't want to come on too strong. I'm not going to bring her flowers. Yeah. And I think that goes through a lot of people's heads.
It does. I know it's a tough thing for guys, because you want to show somebody, at least for me, you want to show somebody you like them, but you don't want to come on too strong. It is a fine line to tiptoe. I do fucking hate it.
And flowers is a little embarrassing. It's like romantic.
Flowers is embarrassing. Flowers too soon would be not a good move. I think maybe like after, let me know if you agree with this timeline, after like a month, month and a half, maybe like a single flower before, you know, you're like, hey, I brought you the.
I love it.
There you go. That's a good move. A single flower, not a bouquet.
No. Even flowers. I mean, like, let's say, okay, the guy I just went on a date with, I'm from Los Al.
Oh, God. I hate this guy.
This poor guy is like nice.
But Cowboy Steve.
Yeah, if I went on another date with him and he brought me flowers, I would feel a bit like, oh, this is like too much. I'm a little like, it's a bit. But if the
flowers is a strong move.
Yeah, if the DJ after 2 months had have gotten them, I would have been like, oh, this is great. I feel secure. I feel like, or something along that line. Something to just hey, I think you're DJ, great.
You'd make you a playlist instead of flowers.
Hey, I would have loved a playlist. I would have listened
to it. I love doing
that
too.
Yeah, I think, but I just think people are afraid to be vulnerable, to put themselves out there because it's seen as weak. I always put myself, I just say what I need and what I want. And if they're not fucking going to do it, that's fine. But also, I am single. So I don't know. Maybe I should be
more. I don't think that's a bad thing. I think communication is good in every asset, in every facet of a relationship. Sexually, you know, what you need, what you want, all that stuff's good. Because those are hard, embarrassing conversations to have sometimes. And I think we get in our heads. But it's like, if, you know, not to get graphic, but if like, if a guy is going down on you and it's not happening for you, as a guy, if you said to me, hey, can you just do this? I would be like, thank you. Because I love going down on girls, but I'm always questioning if I'm doing it right or if it's pleasing you. So I wouldn't be offended if you just went, hey, can you just move your head this way? Can you just do this, do that? Great. Give me some guidance. I will spend a fucking week down there.
I think you're right. And I think what's great about this is for women, what we might not realize, and the amount of times when I was younger and I didn't communicate what I wanted with lickouts, well, half the time I didn't know. So
lickouts, is that what you said?
Yeah, we call them lickouts.
But I love all your phrases.
But the older I got, the more confident I got to be like, okay, I don't know, but like, I'm going to tell him to do this and see if that works. If that doesn't work, I'll tell him to do this. And then you're making it easier for the guy because if he's just doing the 100%. One thing for 45 minutes, hoping it works, he's going to be down there for ages while you're just sitting there thinking about your next TV show or like.
Exactly.
Yeah. And same for guys too, because guys are, and I think Irish guys, I don't know the majority of Irish men listening to this, but I think they are nervous to say what they want with blowjobs and stuff.
I personally would be.
And so you're Irish-American, that similar kind of embarrassment. But I've had American guys be like, well, I'm like, tell me what you like. And then because I'm like, I don't know. I know different guys and you guys have a different penis here. There's like no top on it. So
No tops.
So I just
no
be like,
sleeping bag.
Yeah, so I'm like, tell me what you like. And they've always done that. They've been like, yeah, cool. I like this. I like you to lick my balls. I like you to suck it. I like you to bite this.
I
like
it. I think that, I know. That's just, I think that's me. I'm like, a little more reserved, just like giving directions. I know.
Yeah,
they
don't want to ruin the moment either, but it's totally fine if it's like, if you're like, can you go a little faster or can you slow down?
Yeah, you're right. I don't know why I don't.
Do it. Yes, do it. Because it's not ruining them. It's not like you're giving directions every 2 seconds, like move over here, now on the top. No, it's just like, you know, you're blowing for what, 20, I don't know, like a little while, and then you're, I don't know how long, I can't remember. And then
20.
Oh, I don't know, like I can't, well, you know, it depends on the guy. The last guy I was seeing, like he's so great in the bedroom because we could do like, we couldn't have sex for a while, so we would do blowjobs and stuff for a bit.
Yeah.
But he could come really fast with blowing, which is great because I don't want to be down there forever, but he could hold off coming for ages with sex. And I'm just like, oh, it was so like that.
It's a little different thing. I think a lot of guys are kind of like that.
Which is great. I don't want to be blowing. I don't want to be blowing for hours.
A great, good blowjob, 20 seconds. And I'm happy to end it soon. I don't need...
Yeah, let yourself come when it's the blowjob. Don't be holding it off. Yeah. We don't want to be down there forever.
The difference, though. I think guys try and hold off if you're getting blown because you don't want to, not to be gross, but shoot your load.
Sorry, yes.
Before sex.
No, that's true. That's true. Yes. Okay, that's fine. That makes sense. But we knew we couldn't have sex because I had a procedure done.
Exactly. Here's the thing.
Procedure.
Okay, you don't have to tell me.
I had my badge scraped out. HPV.
I'm getting LASIK. I do want to make this point, but I'm getting LASIK surgery on my eyes on Thursday. Yeah. And I'm really nervous about it because I have a really sensitive like blink reflex. And the doctor goes, don't worry about it. We'll give you a Valium when you get in there and your eyes will be held open by a speculum. And I'm like, oh, up until now, I thought that device was used for something totally. I thought that was the female thing.
I don't even know what it's called. I go in and I close my eyes and I wait till it's over and I walk out.
It's the gadget that holds the lips open, I think.
Yeah, I've never even looked. I just look at the sky. And she even said to me, she was like, you're like one of my...
about your next TV show.
Yeah, she's like, you're one of my only patients who doesn't like say that it's sore or anything. And I'm like, because I'm not here. I walk in that door. I have mentally left my body. I'm a shell of a person until this is over. But what were you going to say? What was the point you were going to make?
I wanted to ask you a question. Do girls, if we started, having sex and stuff, and a girl was going down on a guy, and he came, and then in like 5 minutes, be like, now I can continue. Is that a weird thing? Or is that...
No,
because
that's fine.
I think that happens a lot with why girls are disappointed with guys. It's because... usually, in my experience, a blowjob comes first, and it's like, wow, I'm so excited, I'm ready to come, and then, but I don't want to, because we're going to have sex after this. But then, once you start having sex, you're already so worked up, you come really quickly, because of the blowjob, and then the sex, and it's like, well, you got so excited. Whereas, like, if I can come from the blowjob, and then it doesn't take me long to re-up, you're going to have better intercourse, because now I'm going to last longer. I've already came. I think it works out for everybody involved.
No, I think that's great. But I think, yeah, I would understand that. Like when you said that, my first thought was like, yeah, come so you last longer the next round.
Exactly.
But maybe not every other woman would understand that. Yeah. So I think come and then straight afterwards say, I need a minute and then I'm ready to go again. But I guess she's...
Now you sound like Southern Steve over there.
I know. I don't know. Because then she's probably like, God, he's only going to last 5 minutes now.
That's the
thing.
What do you do in the interim? I would just go down on you.
Go down on her. Yeah, go down on her for ages. Yeah, you're grand. And then you're back to go. Yeah, yeah, this is fine. This is great.
Okay. Good.
Oh, I'm so horny. I haven't had sex in ages.
You're looking a little flush over there.
I know. I go, oh my God. Okay, so I go really... I have a rosacea. And
I'm kidding, of course.
Oh, okay, but...
gorgeous.
Now that you say it, though, I am... so I have a red face syndrome, and I used to wear makeup, especially... now it was only powder, but especially when I'd be doing stand-up, just because I'm like, oh, I didn't want to go red on stage. But since the pandemic, I've stopped wearing powder. I'm like, whatever, if I go red,
yeah,
I go red.
You're natural beauty. Come on.
Aw, stop it.
Yeah.
But still, when I went to meet... So the thing with the guy with the date, and usually I keep these like... gossipy date stuff for like the Patreon podcast, but I'm gonna say gossip. It here because he doesn't have any social media, and so he's not gonna listen. He does, whatever, I've already slagged on the poor lad. But very, very nice man, very, very nice man. But my roommate set me up with him via her Hinge. Okay, so I was on her Hinge and I go, oh my God, that guy's so cute. And she goes, oh yeah, she goes, I don't fancy him, I'll just send him your info. And then we were texting for a week. We go for the date, but when I'm walking up to go to the restaurant, I thought, fuck, I only seen one photo of him on Hinge like a week ago.
Only one? Don't you?
Yeah,
have,
well, I mean,
like
I saw a couple, but I just concentrated on one, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
And that was the image in my head. But then I was like, shit, I don't actually really remember what he looks like. And he doesn't have Instagram. He doesn't have anything. So I start to panic and I'm like nervous and I'm getting embarrassed. And when I walk in, I can feel my face going red and I can feel myself burning up.
You're thinking about it. You're overthinking.
Completely. I'm having a meltdown. Like, this is the ultimate meltdown. This is the first week in a while where I had like... I was doing extra podcasts and trying to work at a couple of hours at a brewery. I think I'd worked that day at a couple of hours at a brewery. So I'm just like overwhelmed. And I go in, and thankfully there's a guy, he's standing at a table with no one else there and he's the only person. So I'm like, oh, it's him. And it kind of looks like him, but it actually didn't look exactly like his photo. And I walk up to him and I go, hey, and he goes, why are you so red? That was the first thing. And then I go, I was walking fast. And he goes, no, you're really red. Like, did you get sunburned? But that's not possible. The weather. And I was like, why is this guy still asking me? And I was like, no. I walked fast. You know yourself. It'll go away. And then
come on. What kind of gentleman is this? You don't comment on something that could be perceived as uncomplimentary toward a woman. That's just gentleman 101 rules.
But I went redder then. I meant it was the reddest I've ever gone. I could feel it burning.
Well, of course, because now he's concentrating on it.
I know. And he's thinking I'm probably like having a heart attack. Now, in fairness to him, later on, he apologized. And he was like, I couldn't help myself. It just came out of my mouth. And I was trying to backtrack. He was very aware of it. And he like afterwards made a joke like, oh, I'm going to have to start wearing makeup again. I keep going red. And a couple of people have commented on it because a friend commented on it recently as well. And he was like, no, you're beautiful. You don't need to wear makeup. You look great the way
you are. Don't wear makeup. God, too much makeup.
But he honestly, it was just a fucking, I think it just came out of his mouth. I wouldn't hold it against him at all. But I mean, like, fuck.
You had one of the great, my friend Greg Stone, we saw you at the deli. And you had one of those great just come out of your moment's mouth, too, because Greg has lost a lot of weight. You were like, Greg, you look great. You turned gray. It was just
one of those. But I guess he always looks skinny to me. I never see people. I know that's going to sound strange, but I never see people's weight. Like, even myself, I apparently put on a good bit of weight. And still to this day, I'm like, I don't think I ever had weight on me. No, I've lost it now. But when I do show my friends the photo, they're like, Jesus, you had put on a bit of weight. But in my head, I guess I just don't. Anyway. I just thought he looked great because he went gray and silver fox. But yeah, he was like, thought I was going to compliment.
I told him, I go, it was a compliment afterwards.
It's a fucking compliment.
Of course.
Yeah, I forgot.
I think you need to start dating the old. You like the silver fox. You're going to get treated right. You're going to get taken care of. I say you up the age specifications on your dating apps.
Well, this guy was mid-30s. But yeah, I will up the age for sure. I think just once they're not going to be like,
parameters?
We're having a baby in a month, because I'm not sure whether I want to do that.
Well, no, not in a month, of course.
Yeah, right.
What are your age parameters from youngest to oldest?
Well, the last guy I dated was 28 going on 29. He just turned 29.
Okay.
And I had upped it to that right before I met him. Actually, I had changed it to 28 plus. But now after him, I'm like maybe 33 plus, I think. Because I just want someone who's like ready to... I just want to date someone who's not like, I've got commitment issues like straight away. Because that just... Sure. And a lot of young guys say that.
I know. Well, yeah. Unfortunately, kind of a hard thing to navigate early on. But
I know
my last two, aside from I've had two pandemic relationships, if you want to even call them that.
Yeah, same actually.
Well, what? No, the relationships was just I was just dating this girl for a few weeks, you know, like the one I talked about, 4 dates maybe. She was 36. And then the girl before that, we hung out for a long time, and she was 29, 30. She had her birthday while we were together. And then my girlfriend before that was 28 and turned 29 while we were together. So I don't know. It's too much of an age gap, you think?
No, I don't think so. I think women tend to date guys with a bigger age gap. Yeah. I guess it depends on what they want as well. Like,
sure.
Yeah, like my stepmom is 9 years younger than my dad, and that worked out well. And I think a lot of time women say to date older guys because you guys are less mature. But again, it really depends on what you want. Because I know for me, like, I want to be a girlfriend, I want a boyfriend, but I don't necessarily want to think about marriage or kids right now. I want that to be on the table one day. But there's women my age who are like, I want a kid by 31, I want a kid by 32.
Absolutely.
They're more likely to go for a guy 40 plus because he's more likely to settle down, have his fucking shit together, no bullshit, in a year, pop out a kid, get the house.
Yeah. All makes sense to me.
Yeah. And there's women who are 35 who are like, I want something casual. I'm done with it. So they might be more likely to date like a 28-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just, I'm so tired of it. I'm on Hinge and I have a couple of conversations going and then nothing like, really jumps nightmare. Out at me.
It's a nightmare.
Yeah. It's hard to get excited in a pandemic. And it's like, I don't want to keep going through the process of meeting someone for the first time. And then like having that whole first date conversation, getting to know you. And so I hate talking about myself in that fashion. You know, I'm like, come see me do stand up. That's the best way to get to know me.
We're not even really doing stand up. So it's hard.
I know. It's a goddamn shame.
It's really hard. Like, dating was hard before, and now there's a pandemic. So you already have to be like, okay, have you been tested? Are we going to be safe? Okay, we're going to be safe, or like risk or whatever. Yeah. If you're both risk averse, that's fine. Whatever the fuck you want to do. But then it's like, yeah, you invest this time, this date, maybe 3 dates to find out, I don't really like them. And then it's like, I could have been doing other stuff. There's only so many more times I could be like, how are you? What's your middle name? What do your parents do? Not that I asked them on the first date.
It's exhausting.
But getting to know someone again and again. And I think when you want a relationship, it's more exhausting. When you're looking for just casual, it's like, this is fun. I'm getting to meet all these great people.
I know. I think, yeah, maybe that's why I think a lot of times you see the relationships work where you're like, yeah, we were kind of friends before we started hooking up and dating. And then you're like, those seem to be really successful relationships.
Literally most of my friends who are in long-term relationships, like Sarah and Joe, Leah was just on the podcast. A lot of my friends who are in successful long-term relationships, they knew each other before. They were friends, or they knew someone who knew them. And I'm like, I'm starting to think that, like, oh, the person I end up with is probably maybe someone that I will meet as a friend, or I already know and just haven't maybe been attracted to them yet. Because even when Sarah was on the podcast talking about, she was like, just one day they were like, oh, maybe we do fancy each other. Oh, let's try this out.
Yeah.
Like, that's great.
I agree 100%. That's all I have. I'm like, I can't do the dating apps anymore. Maybe I have to circle back into my friend group.
Yeah. You just have to make sure that it doesn't get weird or whatever. But in Ireland, everybody kisses their friends. I kissed all my friends back home.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Snogged? Yeah. I've kissed most of them.
I thought snogged meant fucked for the longest time.
I'm trying to think. I've kissed a fair amount of them. I'm pretty sure drunk at some stage of my life. Sure. But that's like, there's nobody else in the town. Everybody just kisses.
Well, you know what? Like, in college, it's kind of the same way. In, you know, a lot of the friends that we had in our circle, of, you know, we all kind of hooked up with each other.
Yeah.
And at it's one more, point, you know,
you're just like, drunk, oh, and you pretend it didn't happen.
Girlfriend.
Yeah.
She was an acquaintance. And then by, you know, senior year, we fucked or whatever.
Yeah.
It happens. Yeah. You're young. Live your life.
Yeah. Wait. So we spoke about the ghosting part already. So we both agree. Right. So we've done that. The next slide was, we're too strategic about our responses. Responding right away comes off as desperate and too available, which is so annoying, because I'll just respond when I see it. It never even occurs to me to be like, I better wait an hour, because if I do that, I'm going to forget and they'll never hear from me.
I'm the worst at this.
This also gives us more time to change our behavior to suit theirs when communicating. And once we meet them in real life, we struggle to match who we are on text, which results to getting severely anxious once meeting them. So that was the last slide. And I think that's very true, because I struggle with that. Like, I have my phone in my hand constantly. So if someone texts me, I'll just fucking text back when I see it. I don't care. I do understand that if you're texting is a great thing where you don't need to text back straight away. It might be like you're busy and you're like, okay, I'll do this in an hour. That's fine. If you're like, I'm focusing on this, or I didn't see my phone. But being like, I'm going to put a timer on and text them back in 7 hours so they can really feel that anxiety and then relief when they get the message. But why? That's setting off on an insecure relationship.
Yeah, well, I'm an insecure person. So
yeah, I need security.
I am really guilty of this because...
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I've asked like my girl acquaintances, like if I'll be at, you know, like SiriusXM, if I'll be in the offices and the studios. And I did this with my ex-girlfriend from last year. Like my friend Gabby, I'd be like, okay, when should I text her back? And we'd have conversations. She'd be like, all right, yeah, maybe wait like 20 minutes or something. You don't want to seem too anxious. But I'd be like, normally in my regular life, I'm a super quick texter backer. You know, I usually am just doing whatever at home. And I have my phone next to me. So I usually see a text and I write back, you know. But when it comes to relationships, all of a sudden I'm getting in this weird game of timing and are they funny enough? I mean, I've written drafts in my notes folder for texts to send to a girl.
Oh, then I read a tweet and I don't know who said it, but it's not my joke. It's someone else's joke, but it was, if you have to take out your notes app, break up. It's
so true. Yeah, that's me. I didn't write that, but I am guilty of that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just, I liked this girl, and I should just be myself and not care. That's what it is, yeah. I think. But I'm just, it's that insecurity, you know?
Yeah. I also think for people who get anxiety over texting, like maybe just being like, hey, I'll call you later. I'm just doing it over a call, because I feel like sometimes my texts are read wrong. Sometimes I'll send voice messages, but I guess you don't want to do that straight away. But I just wish people would call more. But I think like saying, oh, I'm going to text back in 20 minutes is fine. But it's when you're like, I'm going to text back in 2 days, make them really wait. And then they'll really fancy me then. Fuck off.
No, I'm never doing it to try and get you to like me more. I'm just trying to do it when I don't want to seem overbearing or too anxious, you know, because it's usually when I like a girl, I get really excited about it. And, you know, it'll be like, yeah, don't text back as they're still, you can see their bubble still coming up, you know.
You're but texting like, when the bubbles come up. That's adorable.
I mean, I've reread texts 1,000 times to try and find some sort of hidden meaning. I'm a fucking idiot.
I've deleted message threads just so I won't go back in and read hidden meanings or whatever.
Really?
If it's an ex, yeah.
Good for you.
Just because you don't want, I think it's unhealthy. Like, and I'm not being like rude by it, but I'm just like, okay, that's done. Let's try not to focus on that. Because I do think you can go back in and start pining and be like, remember when we sent each other this meme?
No, you're right. When my ex broke up with me, the first thing I did was delete our text history and like Instagram.
It's very healthy.
Conversation history.
Yeah, that's very healthy.
So I wouldn't go back and pine over it.
No. And it's the same, I think as well, what you were saying about reading into messages, that's really tough because like there's probably no meaning.
Stupid.
I treat a message like a tweet now. I'll edit it out. I'm like, okay, that 4 sentences could be one. And then I always put an emoji so they know. I'm like, smiley face. I'm cool. It's fucking
what emoji was, nobody can see, but you put your arms.
It's like the little cute one, and they have the hands and they have the red face.
Oh yeah, I usually just do the shrug. Oh, I don't know.
I do the shrug too all the time.
I love the shrug.
Yeah, it's a funny one.
Shrug's my go-to.
It's funny because my friend, this guy would send her the shrug and she'd be like, what does it mean? And I'm like,
yeah, exactly. Oh, if somebody sent me the shrug, my head would explode.
Yeah, your head would explode. Yeah, she was like, does it mean he's like, whatever? And I was like, oh God, I've been sending that to guys for months. I just thought it meant like not like whatever, but like whatever, you know. Even emojis can be read wrong.
I'm 3 weeks late on my period, whatever.
You'd be so happy, you'd be like woohoo. But yeah, so that's really it. I guess that was really what I wanted to talk about, and that kind of millennial, I guess Gen Z is feeling it too. The horrors, and the thing is, it's like these things that we're talking about have been going on before the pandemic. So now we also throw in social, and here's the thing with social media. The last guy I was dating, he watched my story recently, and I have him, so I don't watch his story. But then because he watched my story, I watched his story, and none of it doesn't.
Oh wait, you don't watch his?
No, we don't watch each other's stories. We said we wouldn't.
It's a whole crazy weird boundary thing.
I know, but the only reason why we said, because he said we hooked up a few weeks after, like 2 weeks after we ended, and he said he was found it hard because I post so many stories, it's impossible not to think about me every day.
Oh, and sure. I
said to him, I go, just mute me, don't worry, like I don't, it's like I'm not gonna be offended that you're not, and I go, I haven't been watching your stories. It's not because I hate you, it's because I don't want to think, I'm like, you know, I still think about him every day, and I know he's not good for me.
Sure.
So, but then, you know, fast forward 2 weeks after we hooked up, he watched one of mine, and my heart was just like, oh my God. And this is all so silly and childish. This doesn't mean anything. This doesn't mean but you see it, and then you look at theirs, because you also want to make sure they're alive. But then as you're looking, you're like,
oh yeah,
please don't be posting with another girl, please don't. And you're like, it's poisonous, and it
really is. I mean, the girl who I was seeing over the summer, right in the middle of the fucking quarantine, you know, we ended things in like September, and then like late October she liked a photo of mine. I'm like, we're back,
you know. Were you back?
No, of course not. Why she was trying to be friendly.
She was just being friendly. Did you message her?
Yeah, that's all it
did
is.
Did you message her?
I texted her. I totally did.
Oh my God, I love that.
I was like, hey, how, what's going on? She was like, hey, because she also had moved to Astoria recently. So I was like, hey, how'd the move go and everything? She was like, oh, it's great. And blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I really miss you. I would love to see you. She's like, nah, I still feel the same way I did in September. And I was like, all right.
Well, I love you because I love.
I just sent the shrug emoji.
Yeah, the shrug, whatever. I love that because you put yourself out there and then you were okay with the rejection. Yeah. And then you were able to move on and not pine over her. Now you've definitely.
For sure.
No, because the thing is, she might have been liking that hoping, going, I hope we reconcile. Because if I liked the photo, I'd probably be like.
You don't know unless you try.
Yeah. 100%. So I think that's the main thing, is just people putting themselves out there and just being like, be vulnerable. Take it from these two single people who want love and haven't found it. maybe do the opposite of what we're saying.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I've kind of really have to trust my gut, and I just have to find the confidence to do that, because more times than not, my gut has been really accurate.
Yeah.
And it's mostly when I start overthinking things, I think everything goes haywire.
Yeah, I think.
You know, I'm like, oh, if you just listen to your gut reaction and, you know, played it off that, you would have been fine.
I think.
Basically, I'm an idiot.
No, I think you're right. And I think if I listened to I wrote a joke about it recently because I have IBS or whatever. So I was like, oh, my gut can't be trusted.
Oh, that's funny. That's hilarious.
But the thing is.
That's great. That's a very funny joke.
Okay, thank you. I'll do it on stage whenever I get back. Stage.
Yeah, I know.
Now that everything's closed down, fucking virtual shows. But the thing with that, like, is if I'm very honest with myself, and I feel like people will relate to this too, is that I have ignored my gush, and been like, months later when we didn't work out, being like, oh, why didn't I know about that? But actually, day one, I was like, I'm not really, this doesn't feel right, and then I ignore it and keep going, like, because, like, even with the American, right. When I ducked, like, that's a gut reaction. That's my body being like, you don't like this person.
Yeah.
And even with the DJ, my gut was like,
the duck is hilarious.
Our first date was so great. We had a great crack, but like, my gut was like, this guy is a little negative and he's brought up his ex on the first date. Maybe you shouldn't pursue this. But my brain went, shut the fuck up, stomach. Let's go.
Well, I will give somebody usually the benefit of the doubt of a first date.
Yeah,
like, true. If I like enough about you on the first date, I'll give you another chance. Yeah. I will. And then if it's, you know, by two or three, if we're not hitting it off, then yeah.
It's great. The ability to just.
But and everybody's a weirdo usually on the first date, unless you're like really hitting it off. So
yeah.
I like to give people the benefit of the doubt, at least.
That's what my roommate said about the American. That's what my roommates on the Patreon. I won't cut it out, so they know all the goss. They know my real feelings about how I feel about the DJ, but I'm not going to share that on the podcast because.
Oh boy.
Yeah. I do like a weekly. I do like a weekly like diary thing. So the thing with that is, you're going to say things. You're gonna say things that, you know, you don't want other people to hear. It's like a private podcast, and and also things that make him look bad for doing, but I don't want to share that on the real, because people do things in relationships that they don't fucking mean. They're being dumb, they're young, people do stupid shit all the time, they haven't figured their head out. But what I was going to say about the American is, my roommate said you should give him a second chance because people on a first date are trying to impress you. And they're just not. And she met him because
their guard's up.
Yeah, and she met him, and she was like, "He's so handsome, he's so lovely." Like, and he's very intelligent. And she was like, "I just wouldn't, just because he sounds funny." Why am I? I don't know. I just keep thinking.
I mean,
if
that's gonna be
Ireland,
a thing, though.
What?
When I was in my 20s, I was at one of my friends. I went out on a date with a girl who had a fucking cartoon voice, and I was just like, "Well, there's no way this is ever gonna last."
I know, it's so.
She sounds like fucking.
But it's so
Daffy Duck over here.
Okay, so I have this American who has like paid for it. Like, he's very gentleman, and the way he even paid for it was like, "Please don't take offense that I'm paying for this. It's just the way I was raised, and like, I couldn't let you pay." Okay, and had asked me what type of drink I like. So when I got there was a Jameson coming to the table. That's how I knew he didn't spike it. And when
I
had already eaten. I told him I don't eat dairy, but I had already eaten at the brewery, so I wasn't really that hungry. IBS. So I was like, you know what?
I was going to say, yeah, the IBS.
I know, right? I'd be gone shitting for the whole night. And so I just said, like, you order whatever. But he ordered stuff without dairy and, like, remembered all of that. And he, like...
Very sweet.
Yeah, he was very, like... in listening and responding to what I was saying, we had like really intellectual, and I slagged him. I was like, you're so loud. You sound so American. And he took it all. He was just like, yeah, sorry. And then he tried to like whisper and was like laughing at it. Like he took it in like a fun way. So my roommate was like,
that's good.
Yeah. She was like, give him another chance. I think you're just because, okay.
Yeah.
So there's him. And then there's the DJ who from the start, you know, saw me 5 times in 1 week. But the whole time was like, I hate relationships. Do you know, like there was like, that's a red flag. And then was very negative and wanted to talk about his stuff all the time and not my stuff. And when he'd talk about my stuff, he would zone out. But yet I could date him for a couple of months. Whereas this guy's so nice. And I'm like, I don't know. He sounds funny. What's wrong with me? I need to go to a therapist.
Do you think he implanted the seed that there's sometimes, because I'm guilty of this too, where you really want what you can't have?
But that's what I'm afraid reading this stuff. I'm like, oh my God, here's a guy who kind of fucked with my brain and I fell for it.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's kind of diabolical to do that.
Oh, you think he was doing that on purpose?
Maybe. That's why I was asking.
Well, because
you.
He did say that. This is so funny. Now that you're saying that, he said something like, I asked, do American guys play games since I've been doing it for the podcast? And he was like, yeah. But he said something like, oh.
Yes.
Yeah, he was like, I can't remember exactly, so I don't want to quote him too much, but basically I said, yeah, you came on so strong the first week. We saw each other 5 times. And then the second week you were kind of weird and pulling back. And I was really like, what's going on? Like, what happened? And he was like, yeah, but because I did that, you were thinking like that. You were like getting more like into it. And I'm like, you fucking sorceress. I would have been still into it. I still would have been into it. I just would have had less anxiety if you hadn't. But he doesn't realize I would. He thought he came on too strong first week because he asked me to hang out so much. So then he tried to pull it back. Whereas my brain,
maybe
that set up an insecurity for us then. Because I was like, oh, he can just go hot and cold like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God, it's a mess, Andy.
It's a mess.
Dating's a mess. But anyway, we should blow and come and have sex. Blow, come, eat out, and then have sex.
That's my order from now on.
Blow, come. And you have to eat her out till she comes because she'll find it easier to come during sex.
Absolutely. I love it. I don't have any problem with that whatsoever.
Yeah, I like, it's funny because it's true about when you're saying about the eat out or the lick out, how to just tell them what you want.
The lick out, please. Call it my native country slang.
Because I've asked, and women, don't be afraid asking for anything, because I've been like, lick over here, lick left, lift. But recently, like with my last partner, I was like, can you just try like motorboat it? Like,
sure.
And it felt so good. And he was like,
There you go.
Are you sure? And I was like, dude,
you don't know unless you try.
This is going to work. And then I came. So just
fantastic.
Try and have the confidence to ask them to do all the, but even though no one's fucking right now because of COVID, get your COVID test and go fuck.
Yeah, that's the message.
That's the message. That's how we're going to end the podcast. Get your COVID test. Go fuck. Be vulnerable. Don't be playing these games. 20 minutes to text back is okay.
COVID test,
not days.
No games.
Don't
blow, come, eat out. Fuck.
Don't expect perfection. You know, no one's not perfect, but don't settle for less. Right? Okay, podcast listeners, this is what you have to do now. You have to write your standards and hit up Andy if you want to have a baby.
Well, let's not put that out there. Eventually.
Okay, I love you.
I'm not confused. He's going to kidnap my child.
Wait, where are you going to, where can they find you?
You can find me at Andy Fiori. It's AndyFiori. And my last name actually means flowers in Italian. So.
Oh, I thought you were going to say in Irish. I was like, do they? In Italian.
No.
Oh, I thought you were Irish American. Oh no!
I'm both. I'm my mom. My dad's full Italian, and my mom is full Irish.
Wow! Look at that. Okay.
I just got the Italian last name and the Irish looks.
Yeah, the Irish face. Which, if you want to see his face, you can sign up to my Patreon. Thank you, people.
Yeah.
Nobody signs
do.
Up to my Patreon.
Sign up. Yeah. Come on.
There's like 26 to 30 people who are loyal and cool, and I love them. Thank you so much. Love you guys. I hope I make it, and then I'll give them tickets to something cool. Not me.
Absolutely.
They'll be like, I'll make it and be best friends with like like Beyonce, and then I'll be like, guys, here's your tickets for Beyonce, because, you know, they don't need to come see me.
I like this fantasy. This
me too. Nice. I'm a fantasist.
I hope it happens.
I'm going to go daydream. I'm going to go eat chocolate and daydream about it, even though I ate chocolate yesterday and got a spot, but it was worth it, and I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
I love you.
It's the holidays. It's Christmas time too. So
I love you. This will probably come out next Tuesday.
Oh, love you too. Thank you so much for having me on. I had a blast.
I hope it was great. Thank you so much. And like I said already, have a lovely Christmas if you celebrate it. If you don't, have lovely holidays. For the Patreon, I have this week, there's a solo episode about that date that I spoke about the American. So I actually, it sort of developed more into a bit of a disaster. Of course it did, because my love life's a disaster. So I just talk about that in this week's solo episode on the Patreon. So if you want to listen to that, that's there. And there's also the video of this, like I said already, and next week's episode, which is with Emma Vernon. I have to edit that tomorrow, but I'll get that up by tomorrow night. And basically, she is a matchmaker, and she talks about what are the things she looks for to match people with. So that advice she says for people to do themselves, and she talks a lot about green flags. So it's better to look for green flags than red flags. So anyway, that episode will be up there tomorrow night, or it'll be on the regular podcast next week. And I have a bonus episode as well that I still have to edit and put out with Nimesh Patel. So I'll edit all those while I'm relaxing for the Christmas. And there was something else I wanted to say to you. Oh yeah, please rate review and tell your friends to listen to the podcast. And like, if there's anything, like, I think coming in the future, I'd like to do an episode on like kinks. So I'm going to get like an Irish guest on for that, and have a couple of Irish guests and American guests lined up. Have a married couple that are comedians that are hilarious, and an Irish podcaster and an American podcaster. He's big on TikTok. So yeah, but if there's any topics you want me to go through with them, do message me or email. Everything is in the description here. That's really it that I want to say to you. So have a lovely week, and I'll talk to you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.